panoch, now fish fish. On watching for the slack foie, now fish fish. The waka ele wana maka.
He's like nothing but power. Bringing you hot off the press news from Lusaka, Arkabwe, Livingstone, and Copperbelt News Bureau. The Power FM News. FM News.
President Hichilema appoints new Human Rights Commission board. Transparency International Zambia, TIZ, has raised concerns over some provisions in the proposed Land and Deed Registry Amendment Bill No. 13 of 2025. In international news, UN warns of rising hunger in Africa amid global decline. And in sports news, Chipolo Polo Chan players compete for selection ahead of the tournament.
And now, the Power FM News.
Upfront and reliable news every day, my name is Sue Lange Molenga. President Hakainde Hichilema has, in accordance with Section 7, Subsection 1 of the Human Rights Commission, appointed Dr. Pamela Fambo as new Human Rights Commission Board Chair, who will be deputized by Dr. Felicity Kalunga. The head of state has also appointed Council of Churches in Zambia General Secretary Emmanuel Chikoyo and governance activist Laura Miti as commissioners. Other commissioners appointed are Father Joe Kamakoma and Fred Wamundila. All the appointments await ratification by the National Assembly, and President Hakainde Hichilema has since congratulated the appointees, urging them to carry out their duties diligently with integrity, dedication and commitment to the nation. In a separate development, Transparency International Zambia, TIZ, has raised concerns over some provisions in the proposed Land and Deed Registry Amendment Bill No. 13 of 2025. TIZ Executive Director Maurice Nyambe expresses fears that the proposal to concentrate power in the Chief Registrar poses a serious threat on the land management system in the country. Speaking when he featured on the Monday edition of the Voice of the People segment on the Power FM Breakfast Show, Mr. Nyambe underscored the importance of safeguards in the land management, hence proposing for a multi-sectoral structure for effective and partial decision-making, as opposed to vesting powers to only the Chief Registrar. He further proposes that the functions of the Chief Registrar must be decentralized in provinces, saying doing so will only help reduce cost of justice, but also ensure better accessibility of legal redress by people of the lower class of society. Meanwhile, Mr. Nyambe is of the view that the 14-day window of appeal is not enough, looking at the complexity of land issues in the country. Therefore, he proposes at least a 30-day period.
Of undue influence, given that the Chief Registrar is being given all these massive powers that are being sort of thrust onto him or her. And so for us, it's really about the concentration of power in this one office or in this one officer, which opens it up to things like single focus decision making, so to speak, that you have this huge level of decision making that has to be made. You are thrusting all this power on one individual, and I think it opens it up to corruption, it opens it up to undue influence, mm-hmm. and even political influence in that respect. So that really is our major concern.
In a separate development, a call has been made for serious commitment to fight corruption in Zambia. It has been noted that despite efforts to address the vice, corruption remains a challenge, with some individuals benefiting from illicit means while others suffer the consequences. Action Institute for Policy Analysis Center, AIPAC, Executive Director Solomon Ngoma cites the suspension of the Constituency Development Fund, CDF loans, as an example of the need for a more effective approach to tackling corruption, suggesting that instead of suspending loans, those who have defaulted on loans should be held accountable and forced to return the funds. Speaking when he featured on the Voice of the People program this morning, Mr. Ngoma underscored the need for a cultural shift where individuals take responsibility for their action and return loans or assets that are not theirs, adding that government and relevant authorities must work to promote accountability and transparency in all dealings. Mr. Ngoma emphasizes that the fight against corruption requires various strategies, including a promotion of accountability, transparency, and good governance. In another development, non-governmental organization WASH Forum coordinator Bubala Muyove Mumba has commended Kasenengwa Member of Parliament Philemon Twasa for actualizing a wire dam project in the constituency, an initiative she says demonstrates how local resources and personal creativity can be harnessed for climate adaptation and mitigation. She notes that the project showcases Zambia's ability to translate national climate strategies into practical, on-the-ground interventions. The project, located in Makungwa Ward, serves four villages, Fisheni, Tawete, Kushangeni, and Gone.
Using local resources, his personal resources, he was able to come together with the community to put together this good adaptive measure. And this is why we're here today. Part of the motivation for us, I think, it's and why this particular showcasing this particular adaptive measure is important, especially for the NAP coming up, demonstrates how Zambia can translate national climate strategies into practical interventions. You know, and I think, like many countries, Zambia is faced with increasing water stress due to climate change, including prolonged droughts and the unpredictable rainfall patterns. So these kinds of dam projects, I think, are crucial for water security and providing reliable access for agriculture, domestic use, and other livelihoods directly addressing climate impact. I think also this dam has showcased the fact that it's not just simply about water storage, you know. I think it can be part of a broader integrated water resources management approach that can link agriculture, livelihood, and health. And I think highlighting this integrated approach, you know, deeply aligns with the holistic nature of climate resilience.
Meanwhile, the lawmaker discloses that the dam site was previously a dry spring that would only flow during heavy rains. However, after the construction of the dam, it has now provided a reliable water collection system. Mr. Twasa highlights that the project has so far positively impacted community, noting that before the initiative, livestock farmers had to walk up to 10 kilometers to access water.
The motivation actually came from the workshop that I attended in December, a climate adaptation training that we underwent at the Intercontinental Hotel in Lusaka in December 2024. After attending that adaptation training, I realized that these things actually are attainable, they are feasible, they are achievable. So I came here, I engaged the traditional leaders, the village headmen, and some of the community members to say there's an initiative that we learned at a workshop and we want to implement the same initiative. So we started surveying, starting from upstream, maybe about 2 kilometers, coming down until we got to this place where we found that that site was more suitable for us to harvest water. That's how we came up with what we were taught to be called a weir dam.
In international news, Senegalese Justice Minister Ousmane Diagne has officially requested the probe in a letter to the Attorney General, aiming to shed light on the years of political violence between 2021 and 2024. At least 80 people were killed and dozens more seriously injured in clashes with security forces or during skirmishes between civilians. The prosecutor of the Republic in Dakar, Ibrahim Doye, has been tasked with leading investigations. His mandate? Determine accountability and decide whether to pursue charges against civilians, law enforcement, or political leaders. Beyond the deaths, some civilians have reported being tortured during their unrest, raising further concerns about human rights violations. A controversial amnesty law passed into the final week of former President Macky Sall's term had initially derailed many hopes for justice. But legal experts argue that the most serious crimes, including torture and extrajudicial killings, cannot be covered by such a law. The first summons are expected soon, starting with victims of torture and the families of those killed, as Senegal begins to confront a dark and painful chapter in its recent history. Still in international news, while global hunger is showing signs of decline, a new United Nations report highlights a troubling trend in Africa where hunger continues to rise. According to the report, an estimated 512 million people worldwide will remain undernourished by the end of the decade, 60% of them in Africa. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres issued a stark warning during the